Number 345, would you please stand as we sing? My dear Heavenly Father, as we come before Thee at this time, it is in thanksgiving and praise once more for this opportunity that we have to come this night to meet together as a group of people in this land of freedom, to be able to sit and to listen to one of Thy servants as he would desire and come before Thee, Lord, and desire to spread the word unto this Thy people, to feed Thy flock. I pray that You'd pour out Your Spirit upon him this night as he would speak unto us, that truly he would be given the words to say, that Thy Spirit, Father, might carry the message to our hearts, that our hearts would be touched. We stand in need so much, Father, of hearing Thy words and of strength, Lord, to keep them. I pray that You'd give us the strength in our lives to do Thy will and not our own, to make the proper decisions in life and follow after Thee with all of our heart. I do ask, Father, that You'd forgive us of our sins and that You'd help us that our love, Father, would grow one for another, most of all for Thee and for the cause that You have called us out of the world. Help us that we might be able to partake of Thy goodness, Father, from day to day. I do pray that You'd especially pour out Your Spirit upon those that are sick and afflicted. We do pray for Sherry, that You'd continue to bless her and lift her up, and for Pat, and for the elderly, Lord, each one. I pray that You'd continue to be with them. For Uncle Don Willard, and I pray that You'd continue to watch over him. I do pray for our loved ones that are gone. In the missionary field, I pray that You'd be with each one, Father, as they journey, that You'd not only keep them safe, Lord, but bless their efforts. I do pray that You would bless our young people as they are traveling at this time, that You would cause that no further problems would come their way and that they might return home safely to us. And so it is, Father, we desire to rejoice for all Thy blessings, for Your watch care and Your protection. And we pray that You'd be mindful of us this night. And we ask it in the name of Christ. Amen.
Comfort from whatever I do, wherever. Moroni 6:9 says, "And their meetings were conducted by the church, after the manner of the workings of the Spirit, and by the power of the Holy Ghost. For as the power of the Holy Ghost led them whether to preach or exhort or to pray, or to supplicate or to sing, even so it was done." I appreciate that song that was sung. I know it's the desire of every man that stands up here that he would lead them. And I had to ask our brother Andy this morning if he'd be willing to preach tonight, because our scheduled preacher was delayed. And he smiled and said yes. And so I asked your prayers for him, as he's had a short afternoon in which to prepare, that he would be led. And so it is, I give you our brother Andy Brown.
Thank you, Joel. Indeed, I feel this afternoon a desire to bring a few words to your mind and your heart. I was moved by that song, as I oftentimes am, by music, by song. It's a motivating or it has effect on our emotion and our thoughts. And I've often wondered, as I find myself singing a song or listening to a song, if with all the honesty of my heart, I can truly say that, you know, that song, "He Leadeth Me." As I sing that or contemplate those words, is that the true desires of my heart, that the Master leadeth me? Or is it a struggle within my mind and my very intellect that I want to lead myself? I have many thoughts on my mind as I come this evening. I do desire an interest in your prayers, that I might be able to present them in a way that we can understand them in a way that would be pleasing to the Master. I find myself, as I contemplate my time before you up here, time after time I come to speak, recognizing and realizing my own weakness makes it difficult. For truly I have every weakness of man inherent. But at the same time I realize that God can use weak things sometimes. And that is my prayer as I come before you this evening. Because as I come time after time desiring to not necessarily bring something new, because there is nothing new, but desiring to bring something with sufficient humility and Spirit of God, that it would confirm it upon your soul, in your heart, to change and motivate us in our life. I'll start in the 5th chapter of Matthew this evening, a verse or two. Starting in the 13th verse, it says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It shall henceforth be good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under foot of man. Ye are the light of the world. A city set upon a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light shine, so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. As we go each day into the world, is that our desire, that we glorify our Father which is in heaven? Thank you, son. Is that our desire, that we glorify God, that we bring honor and glory to His name? I have a revelation sitting here before me that was given, I believe, in 1975 or 76. And I'm not going to read it all. I contemplated on reading it all. But 1971. But it talks, and the part I was going to read about it, it speaks of us. Let me read just a paragraph. It says, The Spirit saith further that he that engages in these things, and he's talking about worldly things, and this is the revelation that was given concerning the movie theater and doing things on his holy day. It says, engages in these things or anything like them, let him know that to that extent he is in the world, and the world claimeth him. And let him know furthermore that from this hour, as never before, he standeth in the place of danger, because engaging himself in these things or any of them that goeth into places your heavenly master would not go, place himself in an atmosphere where unless he hath extreme care, he shall more fully go into the world. What's that? That's speaking to us, and it was speaking to us in 1971, and speaking to us in 81, and in 91, and in 95, that a warning, that as we allow ourselves to partake of things of this life, thinking ourselves to be strong, as our brother Joel mentioned this morning, our light gets dimmer. Our salt is worth less. We're no longer set upon a candlestick. In our day of corruption, in this present society we live in, if we cannot be noticed by our works, by our attitude, by our walk in life, then our light has gone out. And it is held within us. It's under a bushel. And certainly not allowing us to be set upon a candlestick or upon a hill. I think back to 1971. And I think back to not too long after that when I heard this revelation for the first time myself. I too might have thought somewhat of not seeing the danger. Not seeing the danger. And just like this says, he stand in the place of danger. And we today, our young people today, ourselves, we can tell ourselves, it's not that dangerous. I don't see it. But we got to trust in God that he sees the danger. And he knows. He knows where to lead and where it has led. If we would have looked in the things in our society that was happening in 1971... and just turn the page one day to 1995, it'll have scared you to death. But you had 25 years in there to get used to it, and so we did. I'd like to read a verse or two in the fifth chapter of the third book of Nephi, very similar to what we just read, just a little bit different. Starting in the 48th verse. It says, again, more blessed are they that believe in... Wait a second, I don't know if I'm in the right place. Just one chapter off, 4:48. It says, I am the light and the life of the world, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And ye shall offer up unto me no more the shedding of blood, nor your sacrifices of burnt offerings shall be done away, for I will accept none of your sacrifices of burnt offerings. And ye shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And whosoever cometh unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost, even as the Lamanites, because of their faith in me, at the time of their conversion, were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost. And behold, I have come unto the world to bring redemption unto the world, to save the world from sin. Wherefore, whosoever repenteth and cometh unto me as a little child, him will I receive, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Behold, for such I have laid down my life, have taken it up again. Wherefore, repent and come unto me, ye ends of the earth, and be saved. The Master, Jesus Christ, was the light and the life of the world. And for you and I and each one of us, he lived his life as an example, gave his life as an example. He made sacrifices in his life, not just the ultimate sacrifice of death, but daily sacrifices. He didn't, by no means was any time, can I think of in the Scriptures at least, when we recall his life, that he blended into the crowd, that he was just another face in the crowd. I don't believe it. He was recognized. He was recognized for what he believed and what he stood for. As I prepare this sermon, as I prepare many, over and over again, my thoughts are turned to a certain word. In this past year, many times, and maybe it's because the Lord's trying to tell me I lack something in my whole life, and maybe it's because we lack something as a people. And that word is humility. That word is humility. When the Lord says, come unto me as a little child, for I receive, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Come unto me as a little child, him will I receive, for such is the kingdom of heaven. I think of a little child, you know. My little son, my little three-year-old son. I can't think he's prideful or vain in his thoughts. Just full of love and a desire for happiness. And that's how the Lord wants us to approach him. That's how the Lord wants us to walk in life, is in humility and meekness. And with, I'd like to read a verse I read the last time I preached, and I was couldn't get away from it today and thought, well, I'm going to read it again. And that's in Alma in the 10th chapter. Starting in the 28th verse, and it says, but that ye would humble yourselves before the Lord. You know, again, especially in the Book of Mormon, we find over and over and over again, the people of the Nephites became prideful and became vain and mocking, and the Lord asked them to humble themselves, and they would not, and he humbled them. And we don't need to think ourselves any different. Humble yourself before the Lord, and call on his holy name, and watch and pray continually, that ye may not be tempted above that which ye can bear, and thus be led by the Holy Spirit, becoming humble, meek, submissive, patient, full of love and long-suffering, having a faith on the Lord, having a hope that he will receive, that ye shall receive eternal life, having the love of God always in your heart, that ye may be lifted up at the last day and enter into his rest. And may the Lord grant unto you repentance, that ye may not bring down the wrath, his wrath upon you, that ye may not be bound down by the chains of hell, that ye may not suffer the second death. As we go day to day throughout life, and I know myself, you know, right now I'm working on a job that I'm trying to finish up, and I'm working a lot of hours, and I spend there late, and I get up early in the morning before anybody in my house is up and leave, and I don't have much time to study or to think or to do anything except just work, you know. And I can see where it's easy for us to lose sight of what we're in life here for. It's easy for me to lose sight that the goal in life is not to finish another job or to get a bachelor's degree or a master's degree in the college. That's not the goal in life. That's just a short-term goal, you know. To make more money may be one of our goals, but it's not the goal in life. The goal in life is eternal life, that we have opportunity to enter into the rest of the Master. And there's no possible way of doing that unless we humble ourselves and seek His face continually. There's a lot required of us in believing and understanding the gospel of Christ. It's not just something we do on Sunday morning, Sunday evening. It's a way of life. And if we're going to allow our light to shine daily, it's something that we're going to have to concentrate on and be consumed of. I find myself a lot of times being consumed of the things of life. The things of life consume me. The need for working on the car or fixing this or going there or going here can consume me. But I need to be consumed of my walk in life with the Master and what He wants me to do. And like the Scripture says in Matthew, these other things will be added unto you. He knows what we have need of. We have need of food and of raiment, and of our daily necessity. But in our society today, that's our thoughts have gotten turned around a little bit. Also in the third book of Nephi, where was I reading there? In the fifth chapter, that's where I want to be before, maybe, I don't know. Fifth chapter, 59th verse. Very similar to what we read in Matthew. It says, "For ye shall have great joy and exceeding glad, for great shall be your reward in heaven. For so persecuteth they the saints, that so persecuteth they the prophets who have gone before you." This is the Lord talking to people about some of the sacrifices that they have to make in life. And just before this is all the blessed are they that suffer these things. And then he goes right on into this next thing I want to say. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I give unto you to be the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall the earth be salted? And the salt shall be henceforth there good for nothing, and to be cast out and trodden under the foot of man." I find this statement kind of twofold. One, that we're to be the salt of the earth. For some reason, the Master could see and the Lord could see that He wanted the earth to be salted. He wanted the earth to be salted with righteousness. And He called us to be the salt of the earth. And the other statement that I see here is this: to be trodden under the foot of man. That if you lose that knowledge, that understanding, that desire to serve the Master, you're of no worth. You're of no worth to Him any longer. But to be trodden under the foot of man. Let's read a verse in 2 Nephi, in the 13th chapter, 29th verse. It says, "Wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and all men. Wherefore if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life." And now, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is no other way nor name given under heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. Throughout the Scriptures, the Book of Mormon and the Bible, New Testament, we see where the Lord talked about being steadfast, pressing forward, continuing, enduring to the end. He knew it was going to be difficult. He knew it was going to be difficult. He knew that the days that we lived in, whether it be now or 500 years ago, that the temptations that come upon mankind would be difficult. He knew that our daily struggle in life would be difficult. And He expects us to continue in. And here He gives us a little, He's given us a little insight. He said, "And press forward with the steadfastness of Christ, with a perfect brightness of hope and of love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if you press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ." That's the key. That's a clue. It's feasting upon the words of Christ. If we do not study, if we do not come to church, if we don't hear the word of Christ somewhere in our life, it's going to become dull to us. It's going to become, in our memory, forgotten. And back in the recesses of our mind. I wanted to tell a little story. I don't know where I was going to tell it at, but I guess I'll tell it now. I want to tell a little story about yesterday afternoon. I had worked yesterday morning. Yesterday afternoon, Andrew and Jesse, kid, wanted to do something. They were just going crazy, you know. And so I told them I'd take them for a ride on my quad, you know. That was something they had in mind. And we went out in the woods and was riding around a little bit. And if we come to a bad spot in the trail, I ask them to get off, you know. Tips over on me, that's bad enough. Tips over on them, their mom was going to kill me. And so we went down this big steep hill, you know, and I told them, "Well, you get off and walk down. I'll just ride down." It was no problem. I rode down. And they kind of come running down, sliding down, you know, they're laughing and stuff. And hit to the bottom, and Andrew says, "We said a prayer," you know. And I was impressed by that, not because it was my son, but just in any time that there might be some danger there, there might be difficulty, you know, we said a prayer. And I thought, you know, if I could be like that. You know, I didn't say a prayer before I went down a hill. You know, it's just another hill to me, maybe a scratch or a bump or two, but it just, you know, they were quick. They were quick to say, "We said a prayer." And I think that we can learn a lesson from that in life. And we can, you know, and I don't know how Jesse, what his response was. Obviously, he said a prayer too. They said, "We said a prayer." But do we allow our light to shine in times of difficulty? Are we quick to find the source of our strength by saying a prayer, or by seeking His face, or by feasting upon His words, that we are strengthened by the source? You know, if I'm upset and I'm having difficulties in life, I can go next door and talk to Joel, and he can maybe give me some insight or some instruction, but he's not the source of strength in life. You know, I'm not really finding any strength there. I can go down the street and talk to Jay, or go around the corner and talk to Don or Brian or Bill. And they'll all probably be glad to talk to me, give me some kind of good advice, but they're not the strength. They're not the source of our strength. They're helpful, and they're probably all going to tell me the same thing. You need to seek the source. You know, you need to seek the Lord. And that would be the good advice. And I think that in that we can allow our light to shine as well as we somehow. This is part of my difficulty in life. It's part of my difficulty in preaching. Is when I stand before you, the only thing I can do here in your sight, in your ear, is speak. Speak words that are spelled up in little letters that we write down on paper. If you take them to some other country, they don't even know what they mean. They look like someone scribbling on a paper. And they're so weak, so weak. And our ability to transfer feeling or or the Spirit of God is so weak. And it's the only thing we can do is experience that for ourselves. And by seeking after the Master, the source of our strength, finding a way in our life to reject this world that we live in, to reject the hold that this world has upon us. I think I want to read another verse here. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Timothy in the 3rd chapter. It says, this know also, first verse, I'm sorry, this know also that in the last day perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boisterous, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. That list of things that were just read there, you know, proud, boisterous, lovers of their own selves, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, describes the day we live in. Describes the day we live in. We live in a day when children are disrespectful to parents. We live in a day that men, and it's taught in our schools, it's taught in universities, it's taught in seminaries across this country, that you need to love yourself. You need to love yourself. I think you need to like yourself, but I think you need to love the Master. And you need to love your neighbor. Men to be lovers of their own selves. And pride is everywhere. People are proud. And it's taught, again, and I've mentioned it before, and one of the biggest sources of our teaching in this is that professional athletes, it's just every day. And you see the young people wearing them on their shirts, and it's almost like it's an idol worship of some kind. And they can become idols, and they are idols to people in our society. They are idols. And I like to sit down and watch a good basketball game, and best is the next guy, you know. Or football game. I'm not too much into football, but there's nothing wrong with it. What's wrong with it is these people that they think of themselves as being more than any other human being. You know, and they're not. They'll die just like everybody else. And when they die, they get to answer to the Master just like everybody else. Disobedient to parents. We find this a lot in our life today. Unthankful and unholy. People aren't thankful for what they have. They want more. They want more in our society today. And somehow, we have to appear to people not to be like this. That if someone's around you for any given amount of time, that they see these things, that, hey, this guy's not prideful. He's humble. He's meek. Doesn't mean he's weak. He's just humble. You know? And he's respectful to people around him. And he loves people around him. That can be seen in our... I find it very interesting, that Paul would look down. He says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. You know? And I think in the last days, that there's going to be a lot of physical perils in our life. Perhaps destruction, perhaps war, we don't know. We know the Scriptures talk about some of that. But in our day, in our years that we're living right now, the peril is unseen oftentimes. The destruction and the difficult times is in the heart and the minds, and the thinking and the soul of men. I'd like to read another scripture. I'm almost finished here. In the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, when I say that, probably a little flag goes up for most everybody. I just want to read the first few verses of that chapter. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burnt, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. We can appear in a lot of ways to people. We can appear to each other in a lot of ways. I can appear to be a pretty good guy, but if I don't have charity, it's for nothing. You know, I can come over and fix your car or do things for you, give my money to the church, but if I don't have charity in my heart, it's not really profiting me nothing. When I come fix your car, it may help you. I give money to the church, it's going to help the church, which is good. But we got to do it with charity in our heart. We can't do it begrudgingly. And if we can maintain, and you know, the next few verses talk about what charity is and how it deals with people. And I think I might read it. And though I wasn't going to, but I'm going to. And though I bestow, next verse, fourth verse. Charity suffereth long and is kind, envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. That's talking about pride right there. Charity is not prideful. Doth not behave itself unseemly, not unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, and believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Charity never faileth. You know. And sometimes in our way of thinking, it may appear to fail. We just love someone, they still go the other way. But it doesn't fail us. It doesn't fail us. And it doesn't fail us when we stand before the Lord. Describes a person that we need to be. And in our day and age, whenever so many of the difficulties and perils that we face is emotional, it's not necessarily something physical. I mean, there's things that we face are physical, you know. Drug abuse, alcohol abuse, smoking, all the things that people have faced throughout history. But we face a lot of things that are a little quieter, that are very damaging to our soul. We face attitudes and thoughts that can be taught us through our media, through things we get involved with, through professional sports, through a lot of things. Through the television or the movies that at the time may not seem to be bad. May not seem to be bad. But I'd certainly invite anybody to put them to the test that Joel described this morning. You know, what is it profiting? What do the things we do in our life profit? Do they profit us? Do they profit the work of the Lord? Or do they profit nothing? Or do they waste our time and our money? I'd ask that you might think upon these things. I don't have anything else this evening besides just somehow, some way, we have to become conscious of the world's influence upon us, of the great influence that the world has upon us daily, and how it dims our light to shine for the Master. Thank you.